This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, welcome to all of you who are joining us today. Whether you are live or listening to the replays, we welcome you to our show. And today I have a very special guest. And I say that many times when I have guests on the show, the Lord orchestrates my guest list. I don't even have to look for them. They are really God incidences in my life. And today, our special guest is no exception. I met our guest, Chrisanne Hall, at a history fair that was hosted in my town here in Fort Myers, Florida. And my daughter, who is now homeschooling and was homeschooled herself until college, and she has got some little ones that are very precocious, little grandmother bias there. And they were doing a bunch of stuff and, memorizing the presidents and their names and different parts of history, and something that is near and dear to Chris Ann's heart, and that is the Constitution. And so Chris Ann was our featured speaker, and I'd never really known about her before. And it was exciting to hear her speak and keep a group of children as young as, well, we had toddlers and little ones roaming around, to teenagers and adults riveted to their seats. And I have to say, that is very, very unusual. Even as a public speaker, I don't know that I could pull that off. So welcome, Chrisanne, to our show.
it's the material. It is so very compelling. And it is such an important piece of information. You know, we always say that those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. But the truth of the matter is, history always repeats because human nature never changes. But when we get a chance to see that history, we recognize that history always repeats. And we also recognize that those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat its mistakes. Because that is exactly what we're doing.
Right. And, you know, as I was reading your bio and some of the things that are in your books, and, you know, total book geek here, homeschool mom, homeschool grandmother, I bought one of everything Chrisanne had to sell, whether it was for the little kids, you know, and books for them, or my teens, and Chrisanne has some great videos, and the book that was my favorite is Not a Living, Breathing Document, Reclaiming Our Constitution. And for those of you that are listening, you'll want to go check Chrisanne out, and it's Chrisanne Hall, HALL.com, and you can find more information, and Chrisanne even hosts her own show. But as I was going through this stuff, I was amazed at how the world is, I feel like it's now shrinking, or my, time in the homeschool world has just given me a lot of, access to different people. And one of your employers, the Gibbs Law Firm, you know, David, is a friend of mine, and he has done some of the episodes on another platform that I host, the Ultimate Homeschool Expo, and he was a special guest there. And then Christine Field, who did work for David prior to, has a show on this network. So, I was surprised to see that you had worked for him at one point, and you have just an amazing background, which is a story in and of itself, but we're going to talk about a lot of different things, and there's so much information to cover. So I'm going to really ask those of you to really go look at her website and read her bio, which is very lengthy. And like I said, it could be a book in and of itself because it's really compelling. about how Chrisanne, you know, went full circle, had been in the military and had an honorable discharge for medical reasons, and then became an attorney and worked within different auspices of, you know, protecting our rights from so many different areas, and how you ended up having to, you know, either stand for your principles or be fired, and you chose to be fired. And so that's amazing that you would take that stand, which is, you know, really something important for all of us to hear, Chrisanne, and also that you're a homeschool mom. So, you know, a lot of surprises.
I am. Well, I have a homeschool partnership, actually. My husband homeschools just as much as I do, because I'm on the road. You had mentioned that I had come in and taught your homeschool group. Well, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. Last year, I taught 265 times in 22 states.
Wow.
And so I am on the road quite a bit. Now, because my son is homeschooled, he is able to come with me a lot of times. But quite often he cannot. So when I am, when he is unable to come with me, which is practically the majority of the time, he is homeschooling with my husband.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was interesting that I decided to have you on this show. I moderate our other show, which is Current Issues in the Constitution, which deals a lot with things happening today and how it measures up to the Constitution. And I do that with my brother-in-law, who was a history teacher and is currently a college professor. He does that, I think, maybe once a week. He's basically retired, but he just loves loves doing this and loves homeschoolers. And he and I do that show. And so I was talking to my husband, and he said, well, why are you having her on Vintage Homeschool Moms instead of on the Current Issues in the Constitution? It's all mouthful. And, you know, I said, because I want homeschool moms to hear her story, and also how she has been able to, you know, successfully continue to homeschool. Because I hear people say things like, you know, well, I don't have the time, or I have these other things that the Lord's calling me to do. And so I kind of want to start with that, Chrisanne, you know, that the Lord has called you to, you know, really equip American students with the truth and parents about the Constitution and liberty. And, you know, as I was thinking about this show and this interview, what came to me was a scripture, 2 Timothy 1-7, you know, for the Spirit of God, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline, you know, but he has obviously given you the want and the desire to proclaim what, you know, is historic, you know, which is the Constitution, but also our Christian principles, which seem to be trampled on a daily basis, and still continue to consider homeschooling very important for your son, you know, who is adopted, as if you weren't a cool enough lady. You know, let's add adoption to your list of how amazing she is. So, you know, just God has given you a lot of gifts, Chrisanne.
Well, you know, I don't think he's given me anything more than he's willing to give anybody else. He met me in my living room as I had actually, you know how God orchestrates things. And I was put in a position to decide whether I was to keep my job or continue teaching the Constitution the way I had been teaching it. And what had happened was after I left the Christian Law Association, the people in my community found out that I had been practicing constitutional law. This is 2010, so everybody's excited about the Constitution. They want to know more. They're asking me to come and teach. And so what has happened is that I'm teaching now after work, or I'm teaching on the weekends. And my boss didn't like what I was teaching. He didn't believe in the original intent of the Constitution. He didn't believe in limited government, and he told me that I couldn't associate with people who believed in that, and that
wow.
my teaching was an ethical conflict of interest. And
wow.
so I had to make a decision, because he had told me, you can continue teaching, that's fine, but you won't work for me and do that. Well, having worked for the Gibbs Law Firm and understanding First Amendment law, I realized he couldn't tell me that, because I was doing this on my own time. And so, and I was working for the state of Florida, which makes him a government actor. He could not limit my speech like that. So it really was not an easy decision for us, because my husband is the pastor of our church, and he had just planted a brand new church and was having no income at all. So I had to, you know, we as a family had to make a decision to stand for what was right and lose my job, go from making $60,000 a year to nothing at all, or simply shut up and do what I'm told and continue keeping a paycheck. Well, as God would have the timing, before this happened to me, I had started a Bible study with Beth Moore on Esther. And I'm smack dab in the middle of this Bible study when this happens to me. And God really, really spoke to me through the words of Mordecai to Esther and said, you know, God has given you a choice, and you can be a part of God's plan or you can choose not to be, because God is a gentleman like that. He's not going to force you to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but remember, Mordecai told Esther, remember, if you choose not to be a part of God's plan, your people will not be saved. And so that really just penetrated my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not brave and, you know, fearless, rather. I simply collapsed on my living room floor and sobbed, because I didn't want to give up the only income that we had in the family. But I realized the power that God has, and I realized that he's a loving father. And Matthew chapter 6 teaches us that he so clothes the grass in the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and the sparrow doesn't labor and toil. And all of these things, we have so much better than that, because he knows what we want, and he knows what we need before we even ask. And so my husband and I discussed it, and we figured, you know, maybe this is God just saying, look, you're running around talking the talk and teaching my word. Now it's time for you to walk it and live it. And so I didn't give in, and I told him, I said, this is my God-given right, and I'm not going to give it up for you, and I'm not going to give it up for a job, and I'm not going to give it up for a paycheck. And so he fired me, and we found ourselves with absolutely no income at all. But I want to encourage you. This was just an thing for us, because we got to see the glory of God in such a way we've never seen. We had people, because this went national. It was on, you know, national television, national radio, national newspapers, that sort of thing. We had people encouraging us, just sending us letters of encouragement. Sometimes they would even send us a check. Sometimes people would send us money in a check that was just a very odd number, like $120.37, you know, something really crazy like that, and say, you know, we wanted to help you, but this is all we have, so I hope that it will help. And it would turn out to be to the penny what we needed to pay a bill. And, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that this is absolutely God's plan to show us just how big he can get. And so at this time, in the midst of all of this, we decided to homeschool as well. So we were not going to send my son to a government school. That's not happening, because I understand that God says you cannot serve two masters, and that you will love the one and hate the other. And God teaches us that we're to raise our children up in the way that they should go, so when they get older, they will not depart from it. That we're supposed to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that in Matthew chapter 6, God teaches us that he will provide for us, and all we need is faith. So in the midst of having no income at all, we decided to homeschool as well, because I'm not going to send my child to the government schools who are going to teach my child that government is their provider and God is a fairy tale. I'm not doing that. And I don't believe God wants us to do that, because the little time that we spend at home with our children after they've been at school all day and then whatever they do after school, extracurricular, is not going to overturn what they hear every single day in government school.
Right.
And God has provided for us. My son is finishing second grade now, and he has provided for us every single time. And I just want to encourage our Christian mothers and fathers who think that they can't afford to homeschool, or in the very least they can't afford to private school, because you should be sending your child to a Christian school if you're a Christian and not to a government school, because government schools cannot teach your child to love God. They can't. If they teach your child to love God, they also have to teach your child to love Allah, and they have to teach your child to love Buddha and Hare Krishna and Satan, because those are all recognized religions in this country. And your government schools cannot identify with one religion and pick out the other. Thomas Jefferson said that is sinful and tyrannical, because the taxpayer dollars are paying your schools, and you can't force people to pay for things that they don't believe in. And so we are not forced to go to government school. We have school choice in this country. We have amazing school choice in this country. You can send your child to a private school. You can homeschool your child if you want to. You can send your child to a government school. There's no forced form of education in this school, not yet, and in this country, not yet anyway. But you know what we lack, Elise? We lack parental priorities. We lack parents who live by faith, who understand that they have a responsibility to God to raise up their inheritance from God in a way that is a nurturing and loving towards God. You know, this is not popular, but it is liberty-minded. It is constitutional. We need to stop trying to force our schools to have God in our government schools, because they can't do it. They simply can't do it, and it creates an illusion. See, the real myth is this, that our children cannot pray in school. We don't need to force prayer back into school. Our children are allowed to pray in school. The Constitution allows that. Even the Supreme Court actually supports your child praying in school. It's the miseducation of our teachers and our administration that stops our children from praying. What cannot happen, though, is that your teachers, who are government employees, cannot lead them in prayer. Your administrations, who are government employees and government funded, cannot lead your children in prayer. Because if they lead their children in a prayer to Christ, they have to lead your children in a prayer to Buddha, to Hare Krishna, to Confucius, to Satan, to Allah. And even if that is a fair school, which is what it would be, I suppose, that's not the education that I want my child to have.
Mm.
And so you have to make that choice.
Right, and you know, you're going to be preaching to the choir for the most part. For the listeners to this broadcast, you know, are basically Christians, and so, and you know, obviously have chosen to homeschool. You know, so, and a lot of them have, like you said, you know, made the hard choice. You know, especially if they were, you know, had a career as you did. I have several friends who are attorneys, and you know, several that were businesswomen, and, you know, decided that they were, for this season, it was time to be in charge of their children's education and to homeschool. And so, you know, I think you have some valid points that, you know, and you know, if there's any listening, isn't she great? I mean, we can let her go on asking one question. You know, this is Chris Ann, she'll take it. But the thing that you do really well, Chrisanne, is you bring up things that we don't think about, like, you know, that the real myth is, you know, the prayer in school, whereas the Constitution allows them to do it. But what we have found is that most children do not understand the U.S. Constitution, and that's why I was really edified to see our little ones, you know, and some of the older kids as well, that were reciting the preamble to the Constitution and and some other key documents, so that they, you know, right now it is rote memory, and at some point they'll really be able to understand that and have a fuller understanding of that. And that's really what you are setting your life work on, is an introduction to what American liberty really is. So let's talk about that. You know, when you decided that you were going to go it alone and you started getting offers to speak all over the place, and that's really how this started. So, you know, why liberty? Why that platform?
Well, liberty is actually a Judeo-Christian platform. It is the understanding that, as Jefferson said, the God that gave us life gave us liberty. But he continued and said, how can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we remove their only firm foundation, the conviction in the minds of men that liberty is a gift from God? And so without, and Patrick Henry said, what would gentlemen wish, what would they want? Is life so dear and peace so sweet to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? He said, forbid it, Almighty God. As for me, I will choose liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. And so what we have to understand is that without liberty, that we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. But the problem is, when we forget liberty, then we lose it. Because our rights are a use and lose type of situation. Mm-hmm. When I travel, I ask, and I travel and teach adults and young people alike, students alike, and I ask them to name all five rights in the First Amendment. There are five liberties, individuals' liberties identified in the First Amendment alone. Now, I know the statistics behind asking that question because there was a poll done in Florida, and it found out that only 2% of the people asked could name all five without cheating, without looking at something. And the bottom line is that as the people in this audience are listening, I hope that they're asking them that question, what are those five liberties in the First Amendment? Because if they cannot name them, then they don't have them. You see, mm-hmm. every liberty that you have to keep. And if you do not know what your liberties are, you don't even know when they're gone. And so you don't have them at all. And the interesting thing is about the First Amendment, when one falls, they all fall. So if you don't have freedom of speech, then you don't have freedom of religion. You don't have freedom of press. You cannot assemble. You cannot redress the government of your grievances. If you don't have freedom of press, you don't have any of these things. And so when one falls, they all fall. So whichever right you forgot about when you were trying to name all five, that means you really have none. And so what my goal is, to go around and teach people of the liberty that they're supposed to have, their God-given liberty, the gift of God, not the gift of government, so that we can maintain liberty for our children. And that's really the responsibility, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. Liberty is not a gift that you pay, that you purchase for yourself. You know, you and I have done nothing to have the right to have radio shows where we teach right. and educate and freely associate and complain and teach about the wrongs of the government and not live in fear. That was given to us by men and women who came before us. But liberty is a gift that we're supposed to be paying forward. We purchase right. liberty for our children. Our framers said that time and time again, for ages and millions yet unborn. And so that is why I go around and teach, because if I do not teach the adults, they'll never recognize that the government is not teaching them the proper things. And that's why I've written books to teach the young people as well. I have two books. One is called Bedtime Stories for Budding Patriots. The other is called Essential Stories for Junior Patriots. And in those books, the bedtime stories we call From the Womb Up, so it's a read-to-me book. And each chapter has a poem in it that acts like a memory verse, so that your child can memorize the poem. They've learned what they needed to know in the chapter. And Essential Stories for Junior Patriots is for independent readers all the way through high school. And this second edition book we actually created to be a homeschooling tool. So the first book was a homeschooling tool in the sense of the memory verses, but the middle school, the independent reader through high school book is a real homeschooling teaching tool, because it's a book that the students like to read. it's written in a language that they understand, in a format they understand, but then at the end of every chapter we have study questions so that the parents can help them think even further. You've got to develop critical thinkers, you know, people who can read and comprehend and then apply what they've learned in new formats and even extend that, understanding that what they read in a book is not the end of their education, but the beginning.
Right. We have thinkers, don't we, instead of just, you know, absorbing it for the test. And it's, and I want to say on that book, because I have it, and we're using it with my kids, and then I'll let my daughter have it afterwards, but her kids are a little bit young for that one. But it's like taking Chris Ann home, you know. it really is. Like, it's you in a book. So it is, that's when she says it's something that they want to read. It's very conversational, the style is, and that comes from the author consultant in me. That's my other hat I wear, Chris Ann. So, you know, it is very, very good. And but we're going to take a break really quick for a commercial. When we come back, Chris Ann, I want you to share with us how they can get information on having you speak to their group. So just hold for a second, and we'll be right back.
The American Government and Elections class is a remarkable look at the workings of the U.S. government, the election process, and how the Constitution sets the stage for the democracy that we enjoy today. This video series contains 32 hours of class recorded with a live audience, taught by accredited AP and award-winning professor of American history, Robert Woodrow Wilson. This class is sure to energize your students with the love of learning. The classes are on demand on your time to view from the comfort of your own home. Created specifically for the high school level homeschooler, this AP level class can be enjoyed by students of all ages. Recorded and produced by Media Angels, a name you trust for quality products. Need more information? No problem. Go to MediaAngels.com and visit our class link. Or go to AmericanHistoryKidsClass.com and get ready to claim your seat. Hurry, because class is starting.
Hi, and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms, and our special guest is Chris Ann Hall. And Chris Ann can be found on her website by the same name, and it's KRISANNEHALL.com. And Chris Ann, before we took a break, I wanted you to share with our group how they can meet you in person and find out more about your travel schedule and how to specifically request that you come to their group.
Sure. My website is the best way to contact me. It's chrisannhall.com, and I spell that KRISANNEHALL.com. And you can contact me there to schedule a meeting in your area. I don't charge any speaking fees, and I don't require travel or compensation for travel or accommodations. This is a ministry for us. We do this because we believe God has called us to do this, and we trust for Him to provide. And that's where we provide through the sale of the books, and we provide through the love offerings. People take up love offerings for us. We have people who support us monthly, like missionaries. And so God has always been there to provide for us. We have never begged for bread. We've never missed a mortgage payment. And we are blessed by seeing God show Himself through our people, through the eyes and through the love of the people around us. And so there really isn't any limitation to having me come. You just simply need to contact me and schedule it, because it's not going to cost you anything, but your children are going to have such a great, great educational opportunity.
No, it really is. I mean, we could have listened to you longer. I know you had done several other schools in that area when you came to see us. It was in the evening, and I felt really, so bad for you, because I thought, you know, she must be exhausted by now. But, they gave her the microphone. She was on, and, that Holy Spirit kicked in, and you were, you know, really riveting for the kids. You know, and so as I am sharing this with you, I know that you said something, you know, earlier we had the commercial for the classes that I moderated again, where my brother-in-law, and he created these classes for our homeschool group and for my kids, and, you know, non-revisionist history, just the facts, you know, very constitutionally based, obviously, if I'm going to be producing them at Media Angels. But it was interesting because I've talked to him at length, and I read the same type of thing in your book, and the book I'm talking about is Not a Living, Breathing Document, Reclaiming Our Constitution. And in the book he said, you know, that it was very important that we understood the rights that we have in this document that was, you know, crafted. I feel like a lot of it was divine providence, that God, you know, gave the ability to humans, you know, to govern in a way that would be pleasing to him. And I think that's one of the reasons that the U.S., you know, received so many blessings as a country up until some of the things that have been happening recently. But the statement you made that resonated with me, because it's something that my brother-in-law, Professor Woody Wilson, says, and that is that we can reclaim America and make it a great nation again, because he was actually getting ready a few years ago to write a book about American exceptionalism, and he produced a small video, I think it was about a little bit less than 60 minutes for our homeschool expo on American exceptionalism. And when I asked him about it last summer, he said to me, I just can't write it anymore because I feel like our country is just not exceptional. And he said it with such sadness because he loves, you know, he served, he was a Green Beret, so he served in the military. He taught education. He loved kids. It was a government school, but he taught it from a factual perspective, so there was nothing they could do with him because this is what the Constitution said, you know. And
right,
he does not recommend textbooks. You know, he's an anomaly that made it through the system.
Right.
You know, and there are those gems out there.
I don't recommend textbooks either, by that way.
I'm sure you don't. Yeah, I'm sure you don't. But you know what? It is, you know, Husserl tells the kids, you know, three primary sources, which was his mantra, if you will, throughout the class, you know. And, you know, and so I tell you guys would really get along. We'll have to get you. He's in Virginia. We'll have to get you to Virginia at some point. But West Virginia, actually. And so, you know, I read that in your book, too. So, you know, what do you mean by that? You know, reclaiming our history. And then I want to read you some comments, and then also we have some questions from our audience.
Well, what we have to understand is that we are the shining city. We're supposed to be the shining city on the hill. We're supposed to be the last bastion of hope. And it has nothing to do with prosperity. It has nothing to do with three-bedroom, two-bath houses in affluent neighborhoods, about having the job of your dream. It's about having the opportunity to have liberty, because liberty is all those things. Without liberty, you have none of those things. I speak to people all over the country. I have to take cab rides sometimes. I get shuttles to the airport, and I'm always talking to the drivers. And many of them are immigrants. And I ask them, why did you come here? And they always tell me, I came here for opportunity. But then when you really, really press them and you find out why they really came, it's not really opportunity that they came looking for. It is liberty, and they just simply don't know how to articulate that. You see, I was able to speak to a man from Africa one time, and we in this conversation that I had with him, which I always have, I say, why do you come here? And he said, I came here for better opportunities. And so then I asked him, why do you think you would have better opportunities here? So what was life like where you came from? What was every day like for you in your country? Now, he was from East Africa, just south of Sudan. And he said, there's no liberty. And at that time, I'm sort of taken aback because this is really sort of the one of the first times that I've actually ever heard anybody say it this way. I know this is what they mean, but this is what he said. He said, where I come from, there is no liberty. And I said, I asked him, how so? He said, the government is in every aspect of your life, every day, every minute. He says, I always tell people that I came here for better opportunities because that's the easiest thing to say. I don't like to talk about the reasons. But then he went on to tell me the reasons that he, he's a young man now. He's not even 30 years old. And he says, they came and took me out of school at 16 to join the military. He said, I was very good in my school. I was always ranked second or third in my class, but they took me at 16. I didn't have a choice. He said, I wanted to go to college, but I didn't have that choice. He said, in my country, we don't starve. It's not famine. We have house to live in. We have food to eat. But you cannot live your life because the government is in your life every day. He said, I wanted to be an engineer and I want to go to college, and I had to leave that government to live. See, that's what these people are looking for. And that's what makes America exceptional. The fact that we are founded upon the Judeo-Christian worldview of liberty. And it's liberty that gives us the opportunities to do what we need to do. And without liberty, you have no prosperity.
Right. And it's so important to understand that, because our liberties are slowly getting stripped away. And our first question is going to reflect that. Before I read that to you, though, I wanted to read a couple of the comments in the chat room. And one of them was from Denise, who said, part of the reason we started homeschooling is because we couldn't afford private school for our kids, but we knew 11 years ago that we needed to get our kids out of public school. And that is so true. And Twana says, we gave up our primary income so I could homeschool, but God has provided what we need so we could follow his call. And she said, Chris Ann, you're so encouraging. So,
I'm glad.
Yes. And then also another comment from Twana, who said, I just looked up the books and they look fantastic. So that is so great. And, you know, that's the great thing about recording, that we can go look at it in the as you listen to this in the archives, go hop over and check out her site, and you'll probably be like me, especially if you have a gamut of ages and buy one of everything. But so, you know, one of the questions here is really the reflecting of the slow, you know, it isn't even any really slow anymore, but this creeping in of the government into our educational system. And this is the buzzword. We did one show on Common Core, and we have a series that we're going to be hitting on those issues. But the question reflects that, and it says, you know, Chris Ann, what do you think about Common Core and the intrusion of the government into our school system?
Well, you know, Common Core, first off, the government hasn't intruded itself into our school system. We've invited it. We're asking for it. Every time our states go to the federal government for funding, we're inviting the intrusion. Every time we step back as parents and say, you know, I don't want to be a part of the textbook selection process. I don't want to fight for my right to be involved in the education of my child. The government is not intruding. We're inviting that intrusion. And so really, and this is hard to hear, but parents are the only ones to blame for curriculums like Common Core. We need to stop running to the federal government to fix our problems and start standing up as a community to fix our educational issues and get our educational funding in order, so that we won't have to pay the federal government to do that. We can save more of our own money and, you know, and say, look, we're not paying you to run our schools. We'll do it ourselves. And then once you take that responsibility, that funding away from the federal government, you open the door for the states and local communities to determine what will be taught and what won't be taught. The very act that created the Department of Education denies the federal government the authority to require curriculum. Common Core is not required curriculum. It's not being forced on the schools. But when the schools accept federal funding, the federal funding comes with the curriculum strings. And so what we as a people have to do is understand that we've got to become detached from this federal dependency that we have. Now, Common Core is exactly what I would expect the government to teach. It's not what I want to teach. It's not what biblically I would want my child to know. But it's exactly what I would expect government to teach, a destruction of the Constitution, an establishment that we are no different than anywhere else, so that they can destroy the limitations that bind them through the Constitution, and they can brainwash our children to believe that we're just like everybody else, so we will be like everybody else, a socialist nation dictated policy to the people by the federal government.
You don't miss any words, do you?
You know,
I'm teasing you.
No, it's okay. I've come to understand who I am. My husband teases that I don't have a diplomatic bone in my body. But the bottom line is we've wasted too much time trying to be diplomatic.
That's true.
We've got to get our country back.
I feel like the cow has been let out of the barn door. Now we're trying to herd it back. And like the gentleman who was ushered out of the room for trying to ask the question that was all scripted and things like that. And people are up in arms. And, you know, that little video has however many views. But it's just, you know, a thing like, well, let's just share the video. But it's the question is, what are you going to do? And that's one of the things that we're addressing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things my brother-in-law has done, and I've asked him to give us copies of this, but he and a group of, and I love it, they're all very highly degreed, retired educators, most of them, some of them, but like his another professor who taught math at the high school and, you know, very good Judeo-Christians in this group. And what they've done is they've come up with a questionnaire, and all of these elected officials, school board representatives, they are going pretty much knocking on the door, picking up the phone, calling. They're not sitting back and, you know, enjoying their retirement per se, you know, in the typical how the government probably wants us to, you know, go forth and have fun and go to Florida where you and I both live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we have enough of those, you know, we have a lot of people that come here and enjoy our, and not that you can't have fun, but I'm just amazed that he's spending this time because he really feels he's being called to do this, and I wish more people would be called to do this because I know that at election time many times one of our friends is a doctor, and he would call me and say, who are you voting for school board? Or who are you voting for the board, for the hospital board? Or, you know, mosquito control, which we have here in Florida. And you know what, Christine, some of those things kind of fall through the radar, don't they? I mean, we don't know, you know, especially those of us at home school, we're like, we're not interested in the school board representative. But we really need to be interested in what our Constitution, you know, how our Constitution is looked at by these people. And recently, one of the churches locally had the representatives who are running to take over a position that was left vacant by our representative, who was in the national media, Trey Radel. And so they are, you know, going to places like this so that the citizens can ask them questions. Because I think there, this is what needs to happen is people like you need to, you know, really you know, give us a charge, a clarion call, if you will, and get people motivated to do something about it. And that's why I'm so happy to have this audience of homeschool moms who really want to know more and want to learn. And that is so important.
Well, it is important because the responsibility to raise our children in a manner in which they will preserve liberty for their children is the greatest responsibility that we have, because without liberty, then we have no religious liberty.
Mm-hmm.
We have no religious, we have no ability to practice our religion according to the dictates of our conscience. And so we have to teach our children to preserve that. And if we don't know what it is, then how do we teach them?
Yeah, very good. And here's another question, which is a perfect question. And it is, what is the best way to get up to speed on the Constitution and Bill of Rights ourselves so that we can teach it to our kids? And
well,
the second, I'll get, go ahead, answer that first part and then.
Well, the DVDs that I teach, the lesson that I teach a five-hour workshop. Every single Saturday, all across the country. And it teaches the history of our Constitution, the foundation of our Bill of Rights, where they came from, the understanding we didn't invent liberty. What we did do was inherit it through over 700 years of history. And so we have a responsibility to share that inheritance and to teach that inheritance and stop teaching the lies that allow our children to believe that, you know, we made all this stuff up and therefore we got it, you know, we got it wrong and we need to fix it and all this other stuff. And so I have on my website, I have a 3-DVD set that walks through the history of the Constitution and every single one of our Bill of Rights, 1 through 10. And I teach not my opinions, because our history has become corrupted by historians who look more like philosophers than history teachers. And so I don't teach my opinions. I teach through the words of the framers themselves and historical fact. And so you can get the 3-DVD set. Now, I've had homeschooling parents whose children watch my 3-DVD set, and they are just – they don't want to stop watching. It is chaptered out so you don't have to watch the whole thing all at one time, but there's over 5 hours of teaching. The books that I read, that I've written for the students, teaches the history, the 700 years of history – and then teaches biographies about framers and founders that nobody's teaching in anywhere else, like Crispus Attucks and Ned Hector, Bernardo de Galvez, Penelope Barker, James Otis Jr., Richard Henry Lee. These people were essential to who we are, but we have failed to teach them. So we have lost an essential aspect of why we have the Constitution and who it was designed to preserve.
Right. That's very good. Yes, we have a DVD set, and they're very good. Okay, and Denise wanted to follow up on the first question. Some school districts have staff that choose curricula from state options. How do you make a difference at the school district level or at the virtual charter school level? I know many homeschool families who use those. And I think what she's referring to, and we have them here in Florida as well, is the virtual schools.
Well, the first thing that you have to understand is there is no difference between the government schools, the charter schools, and the virtual schools. The charter schools may have a little bit more latitude now, but they're still statutorily created and still government funded, which means the government, even though they're not exerting the power over them that they exert through the government schools, your regular public schools, that opportunity is there and that potential is there, and it will come. We know it will come because that's simply how government operates. But in order to facilitate any type of effect, you have got to become a force. And unfortunately, I'm not quite sure that we have that power to alter our government schools anymore. Because, like I said, I fully believe that our government schools are teaching exactly what you would expect a government school to teach. The only real mechanism we have to get them back under our control is to simply take the education of our children back under our control. If you want to have the opportunity to send your child to a government school in which you have control over the curriculum, it's going to take hard choices. You're either going to have to become a school board member, be part of the school board, or even a superintendent that's willing to stand and say, we're not going to take this curriculum, and I'm going to give my teachers or my parents the opportunity to become involved in curriculum selection. Or you have to be willing to pull your children out of the government schools and refuse to be a part of them. Now, in Florida, the government schools are established where each school receives a certain amount of money based on enrollment. And so when we start taking our children out of the government schools, those individual schools lose a certain amount of their funding because they lose their enrollment. Now, we cannot defund them. That's impossible because almost every, I say almost every because I simply don't know for fact, but I'd be pretty sure that every single state constitution is like state of Florida, like this, that it is a matter of your state constitution that the government schools will be adequately funded. So you cannot defund them, but you can put the pinch on them by removing students from their enrollment. And by doing that, you actually engage in real marketing, you know, in real free market society principles in which they will have to then meet the needs of the parents. Right now, we are forced to meet the needs of the schools because we have become subject to them. Now, if you give me just a minute, I have to tell you something that's very, very important that our homeschool parents and our homeschool and our private school parents fall prey to. We cannot have vouchers. Vouchers will take away your school choice. Vouchers are not how Christian parents are supposed to fund their homeschooling. Vouchers are governments paying for Christian teachers and paying for homeschooling. And where government pays, they will dictate. So if you accept a voucher, you are inviting the government to dictate curriculum to you. You're inviting government to dictate curriculum and educational practices to your private schools. Vouchers are a mechanism for the government to come in and take control of all your private and homeschooling needs. We must stay away from vouchers. Vouchers will not defund the public schools because, remember, they cannot be defunded, but they will offer the opportunity for the government to control everything that you teach your child.
Yeah. And that's something that's, you know, difficult for some to hear, and I'm really glad you're saying it, Chrissy, and I can just say, go, girl, go. But, you know, it is difficult because I do know that many do use the virtual school, and, you know, they'll say things like, well, you know, it's just for a Spanish class or it's just for, you know, this, or this. But I do know that you need to be vigilant as parents, and especially we invest so much time in our children on so many different levels. And I think that, you know, that's why we have these support networks. We have our network. There are so many other support networks available for homeschoolers now that were not there when I first began homeschooling in 1986, you know, and I'm still at it. But there are so many things now that offer support. So that really you know, not that you can't be burnt out, but it's not as easy, you know, I want to say, as it might have been after years of homeschooling. I know I went through a period of time when I thought, you know, I don't know if I can keep doing this. And, you know, it's been over 20-something years now. I lose count. That's why I give the year and let you do the math. But I have to say that it is because of what my husband and I felt was our calling, and I've seen the fruit now. I have the adult children, and, you know, you saw my grandchildren up there, Chrisanne, you know. They were the little ones that stood up when everyone else was sitting down and continued on, not because they're brilliant children, but because their mother cared enough that they should learn this. And this was a mom who was homeschooled K through 12. And, you know, and so she grew up knowing what was important and what was important in our home. And now she's sharing that with my grandchildren. And I have to say, that is the biggest legacy that I can possibly give my family. And it's not, you know, people say to me, oh my gosh, you know, you sacrificed so much. You know, it isn't a sacrifice when you look at it as what is the alternative. And yes, it would have been easier to put them on front of a computer, in front of a virtual school maybe. But when I've looked at some of them for my friends, and especially if it's literature-based, it is amazing what they are able to pack into a literature course. Amazing.
Absolutely.
And when I point those things out, they're like, oh, my word, we didn't see that. No, because that's what the schools are banking on. You put them in a virtual school because you maybe need a little bit of help or some downtime or whatever. I mean, there are so many good things. Chris Ann has, you know, these videos. We have classes. There are things available out there. You know, there's all kinds of things that are, you know, available for free, but I would caution you in that regard, too, that you don't know who's producing them, you know,
yeah.
and you don't know anything about what is, you know, in the background there. And, you know, I always say, you know, I think there's a disclaimer on my site because my attorney wanted it there that, you know, I don't necessarily back every specific thing that has that is uttered on this network because I have other show hosts that host their shows on my network. But I have to say that if you're a guest on my network, I have you've been vetted. You know, I've looked at your stuff. You know, I bought your books and I looked at them, Chris Ann, and I really like what you have to say. So, you know, I really recommend those of you listening to, you know, hear what she has to offer and, you know, really want to thank you so much for coming on the show today, Chris Ann.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity and I am thankful to be connected with other homeschooling parents because we have to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to do what's necessary to retrain this right for our children. Because if we do not, we are going to become Germany, where parents are thrown into prison for wanting and threatened with execution for wanting to teach their children and raise them up to be Christians. And I want to thank you so much. And I want to say if you ever, it's been fun. So if you ever want me to come back, we can, you know, we could come back and do an entire session on just questions from the audience if you like.
I would love that. I would love that. And I'm sure once my brother-in-law hears this footage, he's going to want you on that show too. So.
Oh,
and
well, I'm glad. Well, tell him I'd be more than happy.
Yeah. Well,
more
you both have a lot in common. So. Well, God bless you, Chris Ann, in your journey, and thanks again, and we'll be talking to you soon. God bless.
Super. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.